that will give you one. A handout. If you have a pen, if you need a pen, you might be able to find one. I hope you do. So, let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, as we now turn to your word and to this this time of considering who you are, Lord, would you bless these moments as you've already blessed this service. And Lord, your presence here has been tangible. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies. And now we thank you for the testimony of your word. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The late A.W. Tozer wrote in his book, Knowledge of the Holy, these profound words. What comes into our minds when we think about God, there's the first blank, I believe, on your handout. When we think about God, is the most important thing about us. That's deep. In the depths of your heart and mind, what you conceive of God, what you believe God is the most important thing about you. Tozer went on to say, there is a secret law of the soul that we tend to move toward our mental image of God. There's a secret law of the soul, and that is that we tend to move toward our mental image of God. I want to give you three examples. If my mental image of God, if what I think of God is that he is a person with arms crossed, maybe a little yardstick by his side, ready to wrap my knuckles when I'm out of line. If that's how I think of God, then my life will reflect it. I'll probably live in fear, always wondering, is God happy with me? I'll probably be quite insecure. I'll probably be very focused on outward appearances. I'll always be trying to earn God's favor and acceptance. If my mental image of God, secondly, is that he is like a clockmaker, as in he created the universe, he wound up the clock, and then he walked away, then that's going to affect how I think and live as well. I will see God as distant. These people are called deists, by the way. I think George Washington was a deist. I'll probably think God is not engaged in the world or involved either in my life or in other people's lives. I probably won't think God's in control because remember, he wound up the clock, he made the world, but then he walked away and he's just kind of watching from a distance. Those with this view tend to believe that their life and actions don't really matter to God in the grand scheme of things. I imagine you probably know a deist. The third view relates to the remake of Aladdin. Some of you have maybe heard of this movie. What if our view of God is that he's like a genie in a bottle? Like the key character in that movie. If we think God is there to make us happy, to give us presents like Santa and to keep us comfortable, then you know my life will tell that story too. Those with that twisted view of God, like he's a genie in a bottle, and believing that he's there just to make us happy, get their world rocked whenever tragedy strikes. When the results come back positive from the doctor, when their perfect plan for their family falls apart, they wonder, wait a second, God, you were supposed to give me everything I wanted. Why aren't you? What's happening today, even in evangelical churches such as ours, which is to say Bible-based churches, is that some people are trading in the scriptural and orthodox view of God for a salad bar, buffet bar God. Which is to say, some people want to pick and choose what they want God to be like. They may not say it out loud, but in their heart they're saying, I'll take this part of God from the Bible, and I'll take that, but I'm going to certainly leave this part out, because you know what, my friends don't like that part of God, and you know what, I don't really like that part of God either. People are saying to themselves, you know, it's been true for 2,000 years that God has been believed to be like this, but you know what, it just doesn't really fit in this modern world, so I'm just going to leave that part of God out. And they toss it aside. What we know and believe about God informs our life, our worship, our prayers, and every major doctrine of our faith. If I say to you that this is the Word of God, and that Jesus Christ is His Son, those two claims are entirely dependent upon what I mean when I say God. You understand? If I say it's God's Word and Jesus is God's Son, those depend on what I mean by God. Norm Geisler, who just passed away, put it this way: every essential Christian teaching is dependent for its validity on the orthodox doctrine of God. Every essential Christian teaching is dependent for its validity on the orthodox doctrine of God. What we believe about God will inform what we believe about all other aspects of our faith, including salvation and the church and miracles and end times, and the list goes on. So over the next 6 or 7 weeks, I want us to consider who God is and how our understanding of who He is affects our daily lives. Because from His person, we glean promises. Promises that help us through life. So this is simply the title of this message series for the next number of weeks is God Is. God Is. In the weeks ahead, we're going to look more closely at how God is good. How God is love. How God is just. How God is sovereign. How God is present. How God is faithful. You see, when we learn about the person of God, we soon discover promises that He has made that help us through the highs and the lows of life. Now, most of you are probably aware by now, after almost 10 years, I'm passionate about discipleship. It's my great hope and joy to see this community, to see you growing more fully devoted to Jesus. As we consider who God is and what He has promised, we will find help in that direction as we live as His followers. Now, if what I preach about in the upcoming weeks is new for you, that's amazing. But if what I preach is very familiar, then I'm glad for that too, because so much of the Christian life has to do with remembering and applying every day the foundational truths of our faith. And this series is certainly foundational. And perhaps you're here this morning and you're skeptical about this whole topic altogether. I got a phone call this week from a dear friend from out of town who grew up in a Christian home, went to church twice on Sundays as a child. And in his over 5 decades now of life on earth, he's become a successful person in the eyes of the world in many ways. But I've got to tell you, it broke my heart to hear him basically say that he has left the faith. And seems to believe that God can either not be known or doesn't exist. He referred to it as like he's been unanchored or unmoored or detached now. My heart broke. Perhaps you know someone like that. Perhaps you have a family member like that or a child. It's so important that we remember what Jesus said in John 17. He said this: "This is eternal life, that they know You." He's praying to the Father. "Father, and this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." Eternal life, our very hope of salvation, centers on relationship. Not religion, but relationship. Eternal life is about knowing God. So where do we turn to find out who God is? Where do we point people who ask us how to know God? Where is God? For the remainder of the message this morning, I want us to consider just briefly 3 sources. It's an introductory message in this series, and I want us to look at the 3 go-to places where we learn about God. Because they are 3 places where He has revealed Himself. We're going to begin with nature. God is revealed in nature. What does Psalm 19, 1 and 2 say? Let's begin. Let's read it together if you can. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. Job 12, 7 to 9 says, I'll read it this time. But ask the beasts, and they will teach you. The birds of the heavens, and they will tell you. Or the bushes of the earth, and they will teach you. And the fish of the sea will declare to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? Romans 1, 18 to 20 says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. And I've bolded this. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made in nature, so that they are without excuse. So to all of humankind, everywhere, in every century, God has revealed himself in creation and has been doing so since he made the world. From the greatness of the galaxies to the smallest molecule, the universe declares God's eternal power and divine nature. When we study plant life or animal life or insect life, I don't know about you, but I am amazed at what I find. It's incredible how a salmon fish, right, can be hatched in a river, grow and travel thousands and thousands of kilometers and come all the way back to the very place, even sometimes the very spot in the river where it was born. I find it fascinating how honeybees communicate. They do these little dances. Have you ever heard, you ever seen that? They go and find the sugary water or the nectar or whatever, and they come back to the other bees. And the way they tell the other bees where to go and find it is they point themselves in that direction and they do a little dance. And the longer the dance, the further the bees have to go to find it. So if they just do a short dance, the other bees know they don't have to go very far in that direction. I love it. How about the monarch butterflies from Peterborough that migrate, did you know, to Mexico in the winter? And that a new generation of butterflies is born that will make the journey north, that have never been here before, but they'll travel. Monarch butterflies traveling thousands of kilometers. The heavens declare the glory of God. Nature, God has revealed himself in the world around us. As we walk through town, we notice building after building, and each one had to have an architect, someone to design it. Everyone understands that and agrees, but what about you and me? What about the human body or the living tree, or the flying birds, the blazing sun, all exponentially more complex than a building? There must have been a designer. God's power and divine nature, his signature is written all over the things that he has made, so no one is without excuse. Take some time this week in nature, would you? Sit by a lake. Go for a walk in the woods. Lay out under the stars with some bug spray on. Turn off your phone and take notice of God and the invisible attributes, namely his power and nature through what has been made. We learn of God through nature, and this is what theologians call general revelation, because God has revealed himself in a general way to everyone. And there are two other sources that we turn to as we seek a right understanding of God, and these are what theologians call special revelation. God has revealed himself generally through nature, but specially, in a special way, through two things. The first is Scripture. God is revealed through Scripture, through his word, through his letter, Liz's love letter to you and to me. One verse that we've quoted many times here is this, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Let's read this one together. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The man of God, the woman of God may be complete for every good work. The Bible claims to be and proves to be the Word of God. The biblical authors were prophets and apostles of God that were moved by the Holy Spirit to write down the words that we have today. Jesus described the scriptures as the very words of God in Matthew 4:4. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." It's amazing how God gave his word to human authors to write down. And at the same time, he spoke through them and through their particular expressions and styles. Because the different books of the Bible have different styles and different expressions. God allowed for the human authors to express themselves in their way. But the words that they were given from above. The writer of Hebrews talks about the Bible this way. For the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God has revealed himself generally through nature. God has revealed himself specially through his word. Oh, and I pray that you are engaging in God's word on a regular basis, on a daily basis. I've been so blessed in the last couple of weeks of seeing my son get up in the morning and read his Bible. And, you know, in some mornings he's doing that before I am. And I'm so encouraged. I'm reminded of how important it is for our children, for the next generation, to see us, to see you read your Bible. Do your kids see you read your Bible? If they don't see you do it, they might wonder if you do it all. So may that be a pattern in life. And I think it was Billy Graham who said he leaves his Bible open on the kitchen table. He didn't just read it and close it and put it away, but he leaves it open because, you know, through the day you're walking through the house and the open Bible, he can just glance his eyes down and just read a verse and meditate on that and keep going. Let's be open Bible people, amen? Amen. Oh, let's leave our Bibles open and not collecting dust on the shelf, but open in our homes. God has revealed himself generally. He has revealed himself specially in Scripture. And then, thirdly, God has been revealed in his Son. His Son, Jesus Christ. God is revealed in Jesus. In John 1, we read verses 1 and 14. Let's read it together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. I think it was the Message translation by Peterson who said in that verse 14, God put skin on and moved into the neighborhood. He did. The Word became flesh. God became a man. God has revealed himself in his Son. In John 14, we read from Philip, asking him a question. Philip said to him, says to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and still you do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? I and the Father are one, Jesus said. I want to close by responding to one more question. What is our response to the revelation of God? Where do we go from here? If God has revealed himself in nature, and if he's revealed himself in his word, if he's revealed himself through Jesus, so what? So what? Where do we go from here? I like what David said in 1 Chronicles 16. He said, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually." The response is seek God. What did the Apostle Paul say in Philippians 3? "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." Paul said, everything else is rubbish compared to knowing Jesus. You just hear the heart of Paul who's seeking after the Lord. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, how he gave his life for our sins, we can have a relationship with God. Those who put their faith and trust in Jesus are reconciled to God. Born again, as Jesus said in John 3. And if you've not put your faith and trust in Jesus unto salvation, I pray that today will be the day of salvation for you. And I echo what Mari said in that first point. Are you following Jesus? Do you know him? Is he your Lord and Savior? If he's not, don't wait another day. May today be the day of salvation. No matter if you've been a follower of Jesus for 10 days or 70 years, seek the Lord. Seek him. Take the initiative. Be intentional. Open your Bible. Pray. Meet faithfully with other followers of Jesus. In the summertime, we often take breaks, right? We take breaks from work. We take breaks from this and that. But may it never be said that we're taking a holiday from seeking the Lord, or taking a break from church, or taking a leave of absence from engaging in God's word. May it never be said. So to go back to the beginning, what we think of God is the most important thing about us. Because what we think of God affects our life and our very soul. God is. That's the message series we're starting today. And on the first Sunday of August, the Lord willing, we will carry on. As Joan mentioned, Amy and I are off on holidays for a couple of weeks now. You'll be blessed next Sunday to have Brian and Joan Peacock speaking on the subject of mental health in the church. And on July 28th, Reverend Malcolm Young, recently retired from Park Street Baptist, will be preaching from the Gospel of Luke. I hope you'll be there to encourage them in that time in God's Word. Let's pray now as we close together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, first of all, thank you for who you are. And Lord, thank you for revealing yourself to the world. No one is without excuse. Your signature is all around us. Help us to take time to see it, to see you. Father, thank you for that special revelation that you gave us in your word and in your Son. And Lord, I pray this week that you would ignite a fire and a passion in every soul here today to seek you, to know you more. Father, we're often seeking so many things that are of this world, so many things that are temporary, things that don't last. Often we're seeking things even that wind up getting us hurt. Father, may we seek you. Seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus said, and his righteousness. Father, find us faithful. Bless your church here today. And if there is any soul here this morning that has not bowed the knee to embrace Jesus Christ, your Son, as Lord and Savior, I pray they wouldn't leave this morning until they have. Draw us closer now, we pray. Great God, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to close.